Aaron, in our years of podcasting, we have never, ever gone back before releasing an episode and added on to it.
This is the first time we have done that.
It is, and it's for a special reason. Obviously, after we recorded yesterday on Sunday morning, early in the, like 9 a.m.
Yeah.
Later that day, we all got this news. That the best linebacker in Old Dominion history is hanging his cleats up. So we thought it would be prudent for us to come in and acknowledge his retirement and briefly talk about it. He just means that much to this program. So that's what we're doing here today.
Yeah. I mean, you can't publish that episode without, you know, opening the episode with the news of, gosh, I mean, it's such big news. Obviously, Jason is near and dear to the hearts of all Old Dominion fans. He's right up there when we talk about the all-time greats with, you know, Taylor Heinicke and the first with, like, Thomas DeMarco. Like, just consequential players, all for different reasons. Obviously, Jason in a little bit of a different era where the transfer portals become a real thing in NIL. And, you know, he's a monarch through and through. Just, you read everywhere, you know, he's obviously had opportunities to go other places, but I love his quote. I know I'm going to screw it up, but something about, you know, the grass is greener where you water it. I'm sure I jacked that up, but,
I think you nailed it.
If I did, I think I got lucky, but, you know, I'm sad and I'm happy at the same time because I know how difficult that this had to be for Jason and how challenging it is right now for him. But, you know, deep down, I'm really hoping that it's put him at ease, because I know that he's had to have had this burden on his shoulders for a while. It's such a, you know, we were talking about this the other night. And I had this conversation with Shane Stewart today at work. It said a lot of people, they identify, you ask somebody and say, hey, tell me a little bit about yourself. And be like, well, I'm an accountant at so-and-so place, this. And, you know, I've got a couple kids and I've been married for 5 years. It's for someone who's played football all their life and has been so good at doing that. It's very, very easy for folks like that to, that's what you identify with. And figuring out what the next step in life and what your real identity is like, hey, I'm a husband, I'm a father, and I happen to do this other thing. So, like Ricky said it really well in his press conference today. You can go over to the YouTube channel if you haven't seen that. We've got it in its entirety, but I think he eloquently speaks to this. Jason's kind of whole, this development, they've been talking about it for quite some time. He, obviously, a lot of those conversations are really private and he's not sharing those. And that's exactly what he's doing, the right thing there. But it's bittersweet. It really is.
So what I really appreciated about Ricky was what you said was, he talked about how his experience, he knew he wasn't going to be playing in the playoffs. So he knew his last game when it was at the beginning of the game, he knew when it was going to be. His whole season long, he knew when his last game was going to be. Jason didn't know, I don't think. He didn't know when he started against Indiana that was going to be his last game. I know how that feeling is. It sucks. It's got to be so hard to walk away from a game that you love so much and you put so much of your life into. But I applaud him for being open and sharing with the public his decision. It couldn't have been easy. But I'm thankful for all he's done for our program. When I think about the Bobby Wilder era, I think of offense. and quarterbacks, right? And wide receivers are high scoring. When I think of this era of football, we finally got a defense. That's the most consistent thing we've had the last few years. And I think of Jason Henderson. And I will for whenever I think back to the Ricky Ronnie years, I'm going to think of Jason Henderson first. And I think there's going to be a lot of people that when they think about Old Dominion football and what this program is, they're going to think of Jason Henderson.
No doubt. You know, we got guys in the league, but Jason's name will come up before a number of those guys. When you talk about ODU football and you just start naming people, I think people will name Taylor and they're going to name Jason. Those would be the first two names that come out of their mouths if someone's talking about Old Dominion football. I mean, you can see it just from the beat writers around the Sun Belt that they're all sharing similar type of things about admiration for not only the skill that Jason played the game with, but with the grit and the determination, the sportsmanship of helping out his opponents. You know, we did see when constantly he would, you know, reach out and help that quarterback up just after he had put him right on his ass, you know. But we'll miss Jason on the field, but hopefully we'll see him around and he'll always be part of the family.
And I think it's kind of interesting. I mean, my last football memory of his is obviously we got to see those scrimmages and see him in fall camp. But I think my real last football memory of Jason Henderson is going to be the spring game and how patient he was with all those little kids and all those fans that came up to him asking for photos and autographs. And I think that's kind of a cool way to remember what he was as a Monarch, is how giving he was with the fans.
I can't say it any better, man.
All right. Well, thank you, Jason. We are appreciative that you were a Monarch. You stayed a Monarch. And we wish you nothing but the best moving forward. And whatever that may be. But while we have you, since we did record this early, we've got some new updates. We did record very early. But we've got a lot of questions about why the concession stand wasn't in the beer garden. And we talk about that in this episode.
I was going to say we do. And we weren't exactly light on it. I mean, we had some of the same thoughts that we've seen on social media. That people have texted us and called us, talked to us in person passionately Saturday.
But I had a very nice run-in with a neighbor of mine that works for Old Dominion, and he let me know that that was a mistake made by the food company that runs everything, and it's going to be rectified moving forward. So thank you all for sharing how you feel with Old Dominion. There is a survey they sent out today. So keep an eye out for that. We shared it to our Facebook page and our Twitter account. But you can also find it on Old Dominion Sports Twitter account. And I'm sure they put it on their Facebook account as well. So go ahead, fill that survey out. Let them know what you enjoyed, what they could do better. Because the only way they can improve is if you tell them where you think they should improve. But the fact that they're asking matters. Because they need the information, and you're the only ones that can give it to them. And then finally, because we did record so early, we missed Garrick's fan call. Our most loyal caller, he called in with this great call. Aaron, why don't you share it with the people?
All right.
Hey, fellas. Great to see everybody out yesterday. Solid balance back for both offense and defense, aligned through two games that had very great pass protection so far. What I want to see from that is Bolden's continued progression towards good decisions and not holding on to the ball too long. Kind of saw that a little bit with that fumble yesterday. On paper, the run defense looked pretty good. Still felt like there were still too many double-digit runs given up. Just really tightening up in the red zone and fourth and short, that this defense has really shown it, enforcing turnovers on downs. Looking forward to next week against Tech, and that run defense just need to continue to improve. We have you guys know, we've historically haven't fared well against mobile quarterbacks, and drones has burnt us in the past. Need to make sure to capitalize on those turnovers and turnovers on downs, like I mentioned. It burned us there in that Indiana game for sure. And then it also happened yesterday in the first quarter, but after that, we were pretty much perfect. And Vandy really won that game yesterday against Tech by having long sustained drives, upwards of 10-plus plays a drive. So if we can do that, we have a really good shot to win. And Tech's down right now, but they're a desperate team, and desperate teams are dangerous because they're going to do anything to win. And lastly, let's limit damn penalties. And two, we need to call out the fans. Regardless of who the opponent is, we need to be showing out for this team. Yesterday was a home opener. We know what this fan base can be, and we need to bring it back. And I want to call out everybody. Bring a friend. Bring a family member. We need to be packing that stadium, and especially against Liberty coming up in a few weeks. So, thanks, guys. Rain on.
A lot to unpack there, Mike. What do you want to start with?
I'll start with the last point because I really enjoyed him saying like that. Obviously, the loyal fans are going to be there week in and week out, right? But we have to grow this fan base, and I know you've done it. I've done it. Whenever we have extra tickets, we try to make sure they're used. That gives us two things. It fills our seats, but more importantly, it gives new fans an opportunity to experience Old Dominion football and see what it's all about. And I can tell you at least four of my friends that I've done that with, you know them well, especially like Eli and Sam. They're now coming to every game. So I think if you just bring these people in and show them the experience, show them a good time, it's going to have a good result.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and then in Garrick's comments about the game, they're pretty spot on. Obviously, we have had difficulties with running quarterbacks. We've got a couple of them this year. One in which I won't say his name. One of the more memorable ones. But Drones is a very talented athlete. You could debate whether you think that he's an elite quarterback or not, but he's dangerous. And he's big, he's physical, he's fast, and he could burn you really, really fast and over again. So we're going to have to be able to take care of business there and make him beat us being a quarterback and not being an athlete, not being a running back. I know that's easier said than done, but I'm sure that they're working on that, pretty strongly.
Yeah. I mean, obviously our backups struggled with that running quarterback late in the game. And we'll talk more about that game after this. Don't want to talk too much about it, but we have to limit the amount of third downs that we give up. We did that better against North Carolina Central. I think they were pretty bad on third down against us. Obviously, that's not an ACC opponent playing at home. So we're going to have to continue that this week. We have to get off the field so this offense can build and continue to grind and find their opportunities. Obviously, not every drive is going to be a touchdown. Not all of them are going to be long drives. Sometimes it just doesn't work out. The defense plays better than you on a set of downs. On the long drives, I'm not sure a 10-12 play drive is a thing we're going to see a lot in this offense, just because of what the explosive opportunities are in this offense. We shouldn't see too many sustained drives because we really haven't ever been that under Kevin Decker. I don't know if that's a crazy thing to say, but when this team is flying on offense, it's scoring quickly. So I'm not sure that's anything we can bank on this week against an ACC defense that did play extremely well against South Carolina.
But you know what we can bank on? Hopefully a bunch of Old Dominion fans showing up in Blacksburg. And if you're not in Blacksburg and you live in the 757, shameless early plug, which we'll plug later from when we talked on Sunday morning, is get your asses to Afterglow. It's an awesome time. Great beer, even better people, and a food truck with some kick butt shawarmas.
Yeah, I'm excited about the shawarma. But before we go to the new show or go to the rest of the show and bring you to the original one we recorded, I do have a question for you, Aaron.
I'm ready.
Given the response on Virginia Tech Hokie Twitter that we've seen,
it's bad.
Are we going to be the ones everyone's rooting for this weekend in Blacksburg?
It sure seems like it based upon a non-statistically significant social media sample. I mean, if you go to any post that's talking about the line on the game or whatever it is, like Hokie Nation, the fans are loud and they're like, Old Dominion's going to beat us. Some of them want Old Dominion to win to get rid of the coaching staff. I don't know, man. I don't know what's going to happen. When we win this game, there could be a seismic shift in Blacksburg. Shit could start shaking. I don't know. Because social media already is with Virginia Tech fans. They are not happy. They are not happy at all.
No, they're not. I will say this. I think the answer is no. I don't think any Hokies will actually be rooting for us. Just because when you get on campus, you start tailgating, you start hanging out with your friends, you might want the guy to get fired. But once you hear that band, you hear your team's fight song, all that goes out the door and you're like, you're all in on your team again, right? Like, I can't imagine many people being at game day, not being intoxicated from that environment. Well, you know,
what if they go down 14 points? Now do you like, you know, just put them out of our misery? Like, just,
we want them gone now. Question is, in a night game, if they go down 14-0 early, how many of them stay for the rest of it?
Yeah, I don't know. That's
because they were there for the Vanderbilt game. They saw how that went.
And the tough part about the Vanderbilt game, I know we're not having a show within a show, but at Virginia Tech lose a couple of their starting offensive linemen that won't be playing.
Yeah, that's the word is two true freshmen will be, or I guess, I don't know if they're true freshmen, but they're freshmen that will be starting on their offensive line.
And those injuries happened in the second half, right? The Vanderbilt game. Yeah, so I don't know. If I'm Ricky and Decker and Coach Hutt, you know, I'm testing those guys early. At least I'm going to do my best. Obviously, it's much easier said than done, but I'm going to try to use that to my advantage. And I'm sure that Coach Pry knows that, and they're going to work their asses off to make whatever adjustments they need to make. This is cool. It's like the chess game within the chess game, and those two guys know each other also. So I'm sure this is a very interesting week for both staffs.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. But as we said, we don't want to make this another episode in another episode. So we'll be right back with special guest Jonathan Plisco. Thank you.
The following presentation is brought to you by the Pride of ODU, the official NIL collective of Old Dominion Athletics. Be a monarchist. Join the Pride.
Monarch Nation, it is a victory Sunday, and it feels so good. Old Dominion beats North Carolina Central 54-6, and we're all big Traquan Jones fans now. What a game for the running back. But first, we are welcomed today by ODU Football Hall of Famer and probably one of our best specialists of all time, Jonathan Plisco. How are you doing today, John?
Doing great, guys. Thanks for bringing me back. It's you know, always nice to come on here after a good win, and definitely an exciting win. So, you know, happy to be here to talk to you guys about it.
And Mike, I will save you the trouble of saying "I told you so." That Traquan Jones was going to have a game. He was going to have a day, and he was going to run all over the place. And he didn't have to have that many carries to make a huge impact.
No. He set a record for the longest rush in ODU history yesterday, which is pretty cool. In his first home game. That's crazy.
It's a way to come out swinging.
Yeah, poor Quinn, man. That record didn't stay long.
But he got to enjoy the victory, so at least there's that. Also, passing game. Aaron, that's the one thing you wanted to see. Colton goes 19 for 24 yesterday. Pretty efficient.
Yeah, he was. We needed to see that this week. We needed to see it before we go into Blacksburg next week, because we're going to have to be able to efficiently run and pass the ball. We're not going to be able to go in there and be one-dimensional and have a real fighting chance of going into Blacksburg and getting our first victory there. So I was very happy to see that.
If we're talking concerns, how slow we started in the first half. Obviously, we manhandled this team in the long run. But what was the score at that moment?
16-3.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people were looking around in horror after that slow start with the fumble, but, you know, it's regardless of the team, I feel like you can come out in the first quarter, compete, you know, new wrinkles, new surprises. I forget, I was either talking to you guys or Jared about that. Like, okay, first half of the first quarter, it'll be tight, and then we can wear them down, you know, start showing that talent gap, the coaching gap, which thankfully came to fruition, but, you know, definitely a slow start again for the boys.
Yeah. But pass blocking, again, two games in a row where pass blocking was pretty good. Obviously, this yesterday doesn't tell us as much playing in FCS, but I don't remember ever having this high of blocking grades in the pass game. On PFF in a very long time. It's been a while since we could pass block this well. And it's a great thing to see. But run blocking, there's some issues there. I think it was one of our strengths last year. I thought we were a pretty good run blocking team last year, and we weren't a good pass blocking team. And that seems to have switched. And I'm not sure really what's the cause of it.
Yeah, it's when it works, it works really well. You know, we had some really explosive run plays, but I love to see those, and you need those to win, at least to get over the hump and to be winning 9-10 type games. But we need to have a more consistent rushing attack, be able to rely on it, to move the chains, to keep the clock going, to be able to control the pace of the game. You know, the boom or bust thing, it's not necessarily sustainable. We need something that is, I think, going to be more reliable more often.
Now, another thing I asked for last week was I wanted Quinn Hennicle to get some run, and we got it.
You got more than you asked for, actually. You said the whole fourth quarter. He got the last snap of the third quarter and then the fourth quarter. You pretty much nailed that too, Mike.
Pretty happy with that. It's funny, pregame, the Josephs came by our tailgate, and I was talking, Drayton, Colton's older brother, said, we need a shifty small back. And I told him about Traquan Jones, and he made me look like a genius. I mean, come on, 5 carries for 163 yards, 3 touchdowns, I mean, and his longest one was off of broken tackle. It's not like he had a clear way the whole way. He had to break a tackle to get there.
Yeah, it was almost, a nice run.
Yeah. What a day for him. Passing, our receivers had a phenomenal game, I think.
He had some nice balance there. And it didn't dominate one guy. I mean, Ja'Cory had 8 catches for 110. Trey had... you know, 7 catches for 101. AR had 7 for almost 70. TJ had 4 for 50-something yards. That was cool to see it spread around. because that's another thing. We're going to need that, whether a guy gets hurt, whether something's not working. You know, every game, you know, teams will be forced to actually play people straight up and not just focus on one guy.
And speaking of receivers, Trey Brown had maybe the biggest hit of the night in the end zone on that poor punter.
You want to see it? We got it.
Yes. I want to watch it nonstop.
Yeah. You know, I feel for the punter, but, you know, considering it was NC Central, not too much.
Oh, well, here you guys go. You can enjoy it.
Looks like you get the wind out of him.
His head almost popped off, too.
Yeah. You know, those great form tackle right there.
Oh, yeah. Right in the chest.
Yeah. Pains me a little bit to see it, but we need more of that. We'll take that every game.
Ricky did talk about that, punter post game. As we actually, I couldn't see because my eyes ain't that great. And, you know, we're in the end zone, but I guess he had like a 64-yard punt that we actually partially blocked. He said he thought that punt would have probably gone 80 plus. He was just happy that, you know, that you know, our player didn't break his wrist or hand or something, because so the exit velocity must have been pretty crazy for the ball to go that far with us getting to it.
Yeah, that is certainly impressive.
I mean, you would have probably hit it 100, but you know, mere mortal, you know, it was pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's
Now, last year we had an issue with running quarterbacks, and that kind of creeped up in the second half when their backup came into the game. He gave some fits on running the ball. I know we didn't have our full first team in at that point, but it's still a little concerning that we're struggling with running quarterbacks. But, I don't know.
I will say, while they did have some big runs with the running quarterback, it was really encouraging to see how the defense, again, similar to what we did in Indiana, you know, bend don't break mentality. Sure, we gave up a big run, backs are against the wall, but they still only hit two field goals. That's I know they had the goal line stand. What was it? First quarter, second quarter, where we stood them up there on the one or three, something like that. But then again, give up that big run to the running quarterback, stood tall, forced them to a field goal. You know, that was really, even if it's ones or twos or a mixture of those guys at that point, really good to see that mentality and that fight from the guys.
Yeah. Obviously there were some injuries. There's a lot of injuries going on in the linebacker room right now. Jason wasn't there yesterday. We see Koa's out still. We know of some other injuries that are, but some guys are stepping up. Seth Natala had a very good game yesterday. We see a guy like Jackson Forrest get his first real run for Old Dominion as a true freshman. Keyshawn Thomas contributing. Aaron, sorry. You threw me off with the text.
My bad.
It's good to see that these linebacker core, the depth is showing and helping us out right now when we need it the most. And I'm hopeful that this experience is going to really pay off in the long run.
All right. So I'm going to ask you guys a question now, because I always do this at least a couple times an episode. This is dropping knowledge on Aaron. So I know a lot of the conversation is always about getting pressure on the quarterback, getting sacks. That's what people are really asking about, sacks. So we had two sacks yesterday, but we had 12 TFLs. To me, that seems like a significant amount of tackles for loss of being in the backfield. So I'd be interested in hearing from you guys that despite only having two sacks, having the number of tackles for losses and playing in that backfield, You know, what's your take on that?
I'll let you go first, John.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously we'd all like more sacks, but the fact that we had 12 TFL, again, I don't know how many hurries. I mean, you saw the quarterback. He was didn't give him a chance to get set. What was it, three picks yesterday? Or two picks and a fumble, yeah. But yeah, like, shut down the passing game. Obviously, they had a couple big runs, but just getting that penetration both from the D-line and the linebacking core, you know, even the guys, you know, first start, as you guys mentioned, I mean, I think that's huge. You know, at Indiana, obviously we didn't have as much pressure, but we still had penetration, still were able to get past that first line and create some, you know, havoc. So I'm excited to see what this group's going to do, you know, as we head into Tech, obviously, but then into, you know, Sun Belt play.
So I'm looking at PFF right now, and our pressure rate, our total pressures yesterday, we had 16 pressures yesterday. Considering how many passes there were, it's a pretty good number. They passed the ball 27 times, and we had 16 pressures. I'll take it. That's Hunter Malecki came off the bench and had a heck of a day creating pressure. He had a win rate of 40% on the D-line.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah. He has our highest pressure rate, pressure score. Jaleel Colberth was second. I don't know. The depth is really starting to show for this team. Having a true freshman be able to create that much pressure in his first game, pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, that's what you you know, hope to see playing a team like NC Central, right? You obviously get a chance for those, you know, ones or twos or the freshmen to come in and show what they have in the live game environment. And to your point, that's phenomenal and definitely exciting. You know, speaks to our depth and what we got going there in the trenches on both sides of the ball. I think that's I know that was talked about a lot heading into this season, and I think it's really starting to show through on both sides of the ball there in the trench.
Now, we got to talk about the crowd. I thought the student section was phenomenal last night.
Continuing
what they were last year, just showing out. The end zone stands were packed, and it was the only part of the stadium that was packed.
I think we can make a real argument to give more tickets to students. If they're going to show up like that and they're going to be engaged and make noise, like, get more of them in, man.
Yeah, that's certainly not always been the case with ODU home games, but I think you know, they really focused over the past couple of years on getting the students out, and every time they're there, yeah, I'd love to see more of them, you know, packed and making noise, especially if, again, I think attendance was announced at 18,000. Again, certainly some space to fill in with those students, especially with that energy.
Yeah, I would imagine that's tickets sold, not gate count.
Yeah.
But if you go back, Aaron, to that safety, that punt, you can see the students still cycling in with a packed student section. Credit to the students. Now, we had the special opportunity to be one of the end zone suites, the new Lexus Field Pass suites. We hosted you in there, Jonathan. Aaron, I want to see your takes on this new suite setup.
Jonathan, I'll let you take this.
Oh, okay. let me go first. You know, I think it's definitely a unique idea. You know, obviously with premium experiences or areas in the stadium, you know, you kind of have to take to give. It certainly was a good experience, you know, right there on the wall with, you know, being able to enjoy that environment. I know it's created some challenges just with, like I said, to take away in the field terrace area. But again, you know, ODU has to continue to, you know, innovate, find new ways to grow. And, you know, football's expensive now, right? You look at NIL and everything that, hey, look at that.
You don't get your own time. You don't get it. No, you don't get your own episode. Get out of here.
What are you, 15 over par through two?
No, I'm playing all right today. Actually, we're playing Golden Horseshoe. It's a little wet out here, but we're having a good time. I'm playing all right. You know,
from the kiddie tees.
Yeah, the kiddie tees. It's Golden Horseshoe. You know things, don't you? Keep going. I just wanted to mess with you.
I just want to let you know that your internet connection on the golf course is better than it was at your house last week.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on last week. That was very weird. I don't know what was happening.
Is this green or gold?
Green course. Yeah, they didn't have any tee times until afternoon on the gold. So we want to watch some NFL today. So I said no, thank you.
Sweet. Nice. Well, we appreciate you coming on and give Jonathan some shit.
Yeah, you know, that's really the only reason I wanted to do it today. I mean, we beat the hell out of a team last night. I don't need to analyze that game. I just wanted to mess with Plisco.
Well, Jared,
man, I missed the opportunity last week.
Before you go, Jared, give us your take on the new end zone suites.
I actually thought it was really cool. I was skeptical. I think I said it on the episode last week. It's like, I'm not really sure if I'm going to like those or not because it kind of closes everything off. When we got in there, I really enjoyed it. I kind of want to be in there the rest of the season. It was a lot of fun. It was pretty cool. You can see everything. It was great. That was a really good spot you guys have.
Yeah, they did a really good job with it. Putting in the TVs in each suite was a nice touch. Because it is a weird angle. You are close to the action. You have the scoreboard there. But being able to go and watch the replays if you missed the play or didn't have a good angle on it was just – it was nice to have.
Yeah, very cool. I liked it a lot. It was a great time. So thank you guys again for doing it. I'm going to get out of here. See you later. Just wanted to mess with you, Jonathan. That was a lot of fun.
Hey, don't hit too many houses, okay?
I don't think there's no houses on this course for me to hit. It's just
you'll
treats.
Find one.
I just got a double cart path bounce that put me like an extra 60 yards into the fairway. Don't know how it happened. I love it. It's great. We're having a good time.
If you do, just use those post-it notes that you keep with and write your name, you know, Jonathan Plisco, and your phone number. And
so yeah, sorry, I hit your house. My bad. All right, guys. Have a good episode.
All those calls, huh?
Later, brother.
Yeah. Right, talk to you guys later.
Brought the ambush.
It was. Sneaky,
I like that
sneaky.
He put his name as the boss.
Yeah. I think his wife will disagree with that, but yeah.
There's only one boss in my world, and it's Bruce Springsteen. All right. So, Aaron, let's hear your take on the suites.
Yeah, I mean, I too enjoyed it. You know, there's pros and cons of watching the game. It is a difficult position to watch the game. When the action's not, you know, right there and it's a whole nother perspective, but I mean, you know, me, I'm always a guy that likes to be closer to the action anyways, whether it be, you know, basketball or whatever. If I could watch the game, well, we can, but if I could be on the sidelines, I like to feel the game because it's just a whole different experience. It is cool being able to watch the game and make it a more social kind of aspect as well. If folks are interested in doing it, it's pretty cool because you can cater as much or as kind of little as you want. They made it really easy to be able to do that. So from a suite perspective, that, you know, that's cool. Obviously we've all seen the chatter on social media with regards to of folks who aren't in the suites and kind of the reconfiguration of the beer garden. You know, that was pretty loud. And we heard some of that feedback just being there. A lot of folks offered that up to us. Not that we're in any control of that. We're just fans, just like, you know, everybody else, but I had a great time. Lisa really enjoyed being right there on the wall. And being able to kind of experience, and we got a cool ass safety right in front of us too. You know, you don't get that often.
Yeah, shout out to Jules. She was our suite attendant. Very, very good at making sure our needs were met. She did a great job. The chairs they put in there are really comfortable.
Yeah,
they added a little bar off of the wall, so we could set our drinks or rest our arms or. I don't know. I think they did a phenomenal job with how they set it up.
It was.
And in a time where we need to raise more money because of revenue sharing and the cost of everything just always increasing, it makes sense for them to try to find new ways to generate revenue without having to build. Because we all know how expensive capital is right now. And them getting creative and trying to find new revenue streams is smart.
Now, we do pride ourselves on being honest and authentic. So a lot of the chatter, I don't want to run from it. A lot of the chatter was that the concession stand was not available in the beer garden. And I think that is a valid... I don't know all the stuff behind the scenes on why or why it's not open. But what I will say is that the folks who have access to the Lexus Terrace, the beer garden, whatever we want to call it, it made it much more difficult for them to get concessions. And their feedback was very loud. They weren't happy about that, especially with being able to buy beer throughout the stadium. If they had to go get concessions somewhere else, even like nachos or hot dogs, something basic, then kind of like, well, if I can buy beer outside there and I've got to go there anyways to get concessions, why am I? So I get the feedback there, and you know, I'm sure that the people that are actually care about this stuff and can make decisions will see that on social media, because I saw multiple posts between last night and this morning. So I don't want folks to come and, you know, say, hey, all you guys talked about was the cool stuff, because you were in one of those things. There's definitely feedback out there that, you know, folks that weren't happy.
Yeah, and I think you guys really made a good point of, again, we as a school, as you know, ODAF, ODU has to find ways just to stay competitive, right? We have a very competitive team, which is, you know, it's evident through the two games. And the way you get that, the way you keep that is, you know, in today's world is NIL, you know, investment in facilities and the kids. So again, hats off to ODU to keep trying. Again, they're going to learn, right? To your point, there's a lot of feedback from a lot of people. And again, I think they'll find that happy medium as they continue to try new things. And again, they're going to have to, right? So, you know, understandably, you know, first home game, new world, new things, definitely a good setup and good experience. But I do think there's some room to, you know, make both sides or both worlds happy and continue to grow.
It was pretty sweet to see the Bazemores there and to see Mike Byers was there, Cal Badler, you know, a lot of the OG basketball dudes are back. Basketball working to get it done on the recruiting front, and they brought in some big dogs. I know that's not football related, but it was sweet.
They really rolled out the carpet for Jaden Hodge yesterday. Bringing back all those OG basketball legends was pretty shrewd move. They look like they're having a good time.
Yeah.
And hopefully we will.
What's that? Dudes. The good dude, you know, was able to talk to them for a handful of minutes down there. They're, again, love the school. Great guys. Easy to find them too down there, you know. Easy to guess what a sport.
Who's that guy that's a foot and a half taller than me?
Yeah.
you play basketball?
Yeah. The women had a couple of recruits on campus too.
They did.
A couple guards from Texas.
Women's basketball has that deep Texas connection. But yeah, they did have two on visits here, and but Delisha and Roland and you know, a lot of the returning players that were out there all together, and everybody looked like they were having a good time, got a good experience seeing what football, you know, when football's at its best, what it looks like here at Old Dominion and the community and the fan base. So it was cool to see both of those programs making major moves and, you know, trying to take the next step in kind of their growth and return to prominence. championship prominence that is.
And football hosted a, they had a lot of kids visiting yesterday. I was given the list. So if you are behind, if you are a Pride of ODU member, look out for that later this week. Behind the Shield, we'll have a breakdown of the recruits that came and an update on our recruiting efforts for football. I think this would be a good time to shout out Afterglow, because this Saturday we will be hosting a watch party for Virginia Tech, a game that we will talk about after this break. But on top of that, stay tuned for Fade Gary for week three.
What's up, Monarch fans? Gary here with your week three Fade Gary picks. We went 0-3 last week, thanks to really Mark Stoops kicking a field goal with 8 seconds left while he was down 10. Looked like all the Ole Miss tickets were going to get to the window, but he decided to win to lose by 7 instead of just 10. That's fine. We'll move forward this week. We're 6-3 on the season, still very, very positive. So try to get a couple winners, or if you faded me last week, congratulations, you went 3-0. First pick this week, big matchup within the Sun Belt. I'm taking Southern Miss +1 at home against App State. Really like the way this USM team is coming together. First true road test for App State, and they really had to hang on to beat FCS Lindenwood last week, 20-13. So give me the Mustard Buzzards for a pretty big Sun Belt matchup. Second game also involves a Sun Belt team. I'm taking East Carolina -6.5 at Coastal. Coastal has looked awful this year. They got destroyed by Virginia. They nearly lost to Charleston Southern. It was a 13-0 game. Their offense just could not get going. They've got a lot to figure out. I think the Pirates are way ahead of them. I'm taking East Carolina anything under 10. Third and final game, Western Michigan +28.5 at Illinois. Western Michigan hung tough with Michigan State, and I think this is a look-ahead spot for Illinois. They are going to Indiana next week. I think that the Broncos will keep this within 4 touchdowns. So Western Michigan +28.5. Good luck this weekend. Go Monarchs. And by the way, that ODU Virginia Tech line is pretty funny. I think we're down to touchdown dogs on the road, which is pretty insane. If you're out of state, you can get anything above a touchdown. Love that there. Go Monarchs.
What a good time, man.
Yeah, I can't wait for Saturday. It's going to be fun. Another chance to hang out at Afterglow with ODU fans and root on the Monarchs as they take on the Hokies. They had a rough day yesterday.
Well, it started out okay.
It did. They were up 20-10 at halftime.
Yeah.
What was the final score of that game, Aaron?
Shit, like 34-20. Something like that.
44 to 20.
34-20. 34-0 in the second half, right?
Yeah. Rough day.
Yeah. You know, hurts my heart to see it.
I'm sensing a little bit sarcasm.
Just a little bit. Are we looking at, are we talking ahead now to the Tech game? It's don't want to jump ahead,
tech.
Guys.
No, but, we're on Tech now.
Yeah, we're on Tech.
It's a good and a bad thing to go into Blacksburg against a Tech team that's 0-2. Good in the sense of obviously they played SEC. Who did they lose to the first week? Was it
South Carolina?
Yeah, so two SEC schools, right? You know, SEC
little football. Little Beamer.
yeah, cream of the crop. But obviously going into Blacksburg against an 0-2 Tech team, they're going to want to win, right? That's I guess, the downside. So it's going to be exciting, right? You know, I'd love to get that first win up in Blacksburg. But if we already weren't up against it, you know, Tech's going to come out extra hungry, extra focused to try to get on the win column.
So I'm just going to ask a question. If we go into Blacksburg and we win our first game in Blacksburg and take Virginia Tech to an 0-3 start, do they have a new coach in week four?
I'd have to look at their schedule to really give you a good guess at this, but I would imagine if they fire Pry, it'll probably be before bye week.
Now, maybe the uproar will be that great that they'll have to do it regardless of, you know, the true impact, right?
Right. I agree. I'm just trying to be a little bit trying to think it out through my head of how
they play Wofford after us.
It's essentially a bye.
Yeah, and then NC State, Wake Forest, George, hold on, let's look. 9/13/2027. They don't have a bye until after their October 11th game between Georgia Tech and Cal.
And are they playing at Cal?
No, that's a home game.
Okay. I don't know. I had this premonition all summer long that we would get the second straight coach at Virginia Tech fired. Because I think if you look back at the last coach that got fired, I feel like that was because of us. Like we were the straw that broke the camel's back, right? And I have a feeling we are going to be that again this week. Or we have the opportunity to, at least.
Yes, opportunity.
Yeah, my in-laws are all Hokie fans and Hokie graduates, and I know there's a lot of chatter. You know, Virginia Tech built a great program in the past handful of years have not been up to expectation, and yeah, it's nice to have that opportunity to, you know, make some waves in Virginia football. And again, I think the guys are up for it, but like I said, them starting 0-2, you know, they're, I would imagine they'd come in a little hotter, a little more focused, than what they may have if they were 2-0.
Well, when you start 0-2, so obviously you've got coaching staff, you have players, and you want both to be aligned, but that necessarily isn't the case all the time. When you're 0-2 and you know that this is a critical game, they're like, we've got to beat Old Dominion. We should beat Old Dominion. It's a home game. We should win, and we should win convincingly on here. But if we don't, like, things get really bad. Does one or the other start pressing more? Maybe trying to do a little too much. Maybe, you know, a player goes outside their assignment a little bit because they're trying to, or is that not really even really a thing? You get on the field and instincts kick in and it's just another game.
You know, it's, we'll see here in a couple, you know, short days, which one of those manifests, but I think both of those are really, I mean, they're both a potential option, right? It really just depends on, sure, the coaching staff is going to try to do more. The players are going to try to do more, but can they do it constructively and together in a way that benefits the team? Again, you've seen teams like high pressure games, lots on the line. You see it go the other way. Like, I do think that's a distinct possibility. Obviously, we hope that's the way it goes going into Blacksburg. They try to do too much, you know, too much from a scheme perspective, from trying to do more than your assignment, which again could help us, but again, it could also have the opposite effect of they really tighten up, they really hunker down, focus on those assignments, and really execute to their scheme. So, like I said, hopefully it's the first option and not the second.
So I'm trying to figure out what is it that's driving this team's failure so far for Virginia Tech. Obviously, week one, I think you could say it was offensive. Like, their defense had a heck of a game against South Carolina. But offensively, they've had their woes in week one. Now, week two, they allow 44 points. Obviously, that's – and it looks like their biggest issue last night was pass coverage. Really bad pass grades for them last night.
Yeah, I don't disagree, but I think from an offensive perspective, they're having challenges that we often have had. They did not run the ball well, and from a passing perspective, I mean, they averaged less than 5 yards a pass. So they rushed for 114 yards total as a team and passed for 134. I did not watch that game, but just looking at that, my guess is they didn't have many sustained drives, and they were probably putting their defense on the field a lot. We've talked about that a lot for our guys. No matter how good your defense is, there's only so much they can take before they start wearing down, not only in a game, but, you know, throughout a season. So I'll have to go back, or I'll have to go and watch this game. But I think the roadmap is being able to sustain drives going there and keeping the chains going. And, you know, with an offense on their side that's been that inefficient, if you know, you don't give them as many chances, then you've got a real fighting chance of coming out of Blacksburg with a win and sending them, you know, with a really rough start.
Nail on the head with that passing number, that 4.6 yards per pass. That tells me, and they were 6 of 14 on third down. That tells me they were dink and dunking it down the field. There was not much explosiveness for Virginia Tech yesterday. And when you dink and dunk down the field, you got to be really efficient and consistent to play good offensive football. And they just weren't efficient enough. Time of possession, they lost it by about 4.5 minutes. So they didn't really get dominated there. Defensively, though, they allowed 11.4 yards per pass and 7.1 yards per rush. Really balanced attack by Vanderbilt, where they could do really nothing wrong other than they committed a ton of penalties. But other than that, I mean, they just dominated.
Dude, and check this out. How many sacks do you think they had?
Vandy? On drones?
No. As a defense.
Zero.
How many TFLs do you think they had?
Two.
You're right. Can't imagine that you're going to win a lot of games with that.
That's, you know, that's exciting to hear, right? Like, obviously they're going against SEC linemen, but
yeah.
Watching what our guys did against, you know, Big Ten line. Again, I think they were, someone was saying Indy outweighed us by like 30 pounds on average. And we still held the line, fought. You know, it's encouraging to hear, you know, Tech had those issues against SEC lines. Again, makes it a little more exciting heading into Blacksburg this week.
Drones can run. He gave us fits last year. And that, I mean, we already hit on it with last night's game. We did struggle a little bit with a running quarterback. And I think that's my biggest concern heading into Blacksburg is how do we contain Drone's ability to make plays with his feet?
We know it's interesting. If you look at his numbers yesterday and for the season so far, remember it's two games. I mean, you guys are both numbers guys. That's not statistically significant sample. It's a very small sample size. But Drones has run the ball 25 times for 62 yards this season. And that's with one of those runs was a 27-yard run. So the real question is, you know, their line just not really getting it done? Is he making a concerted effort to not run as much? I don't want this to be a get-right game sort of thing, because we have been susceptible to that. But I'm going to have to go watch these games and see and kind of, you know, what's happened in reality and not just look at the numbers, but that's kind of encouraging.
Yeah, I think to that point, and I watched a little bit of the South Carolina game when they were playing. It's, you know, drones has always been able to gash when he had those weapons, right? The threat of the big, you know, home run ball. And, you know, based on some of the stats you guys are talking about, like they're just either not getting it or maybe they just don't have the weapon set that they used to really get that. So we do struggle against those running quarterbacks. But if we think we can, you know, run man or, you know, single safety looks where we have that extra safety to spy, not let him squirt out for those, you know, broken down plays or the designed runs, like, again, maybe we have that chance to right the ship and not let him run all over us.
Also, night game, Blacksburg, that's going to be tough on its own. It's a great fan environment. But how are Tech fans going to react with an 0-2 record?
Well, if you're a fan that's never gone to Blacksburg and you've never been in for a night game, I'm curious as to be, I'm curious how hyped their fans are going to be. You know, it's usually really electric, and of course they've got Enter Sandman and primetime game, and it's a really cool experience if you've, you know, never had that before. But I'm curious if it will be muted a little bit.
I hope. You know, that gives them one less weapon, but I mean, Blacksburg loves their football. I know, what was it, 2 years ago? We went up for that game. I think it was a day game. It was hot. But they packed out. They brought the energy. They brought the noise. Again, well, it'd be nice to see them a little muted with the start. It's, you know, to your point, night game. You know, it's a chance for them to win, not having to play an SEC school. So I do imagine they'll bring the noise, bring the energy there for that night game, which will it'll be great, great for the guys, right? What an environment to play in. Let's hope we can feed off that too.
Our last trip there was started in the evening with daylight and finished under night. That was a very hot tailgate. I remember that. But that was also a game where it felt like we were in it pretty deep into the game and then just kind of fumbled it away. I think we had two fumbles that were...
I was going to say literally.
Yeah. Two fumbles that just ended up breaking us in that game. Last year, though, I mean, that was ugly.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about last year.
Yeah.
We're a different team.
Hey, we too have a 1-0 mentality. I'm not looking backwards. We're looking forward.
Well, I was starting to talk about last year because of those weapons that Jonathan was talking about. And I forgot who it was. It was a guy in the slot that just gave us trouble all day long. And it doesn't appear that they have a guy like that this season. They Let's also have
they don't find one right. until after we play.
Yeah, exactly.
They also had an amazing running back last year. And maybe they have one. They just haven't found it yet, but hopefully, like Jonathan said, they don't find it until after we play.
Yeah, they can find it at Wofford. Oh, versus Wofford. I'm just excited. I'm excited because I think we have the prospect to run the ball better as a team. But throw in the capability of Colton and Traquan. If someone makes a mistake, one guy makes a mistake, and either of those guys can go 100 yards. They get a little room, and not many people are catching either of those guys. So if we can get some consistency of just a, let's just say an average running game across the board, and you sprinkle in one or two of those explosive plays a game, that can get dangerous real quick for an opponent.
Yeah, it's I meant to mention this earlier. Traquan is fast. I mean, you look at his two, you know, touchdown runs that he had, like, especially the 93-yarder, like, nobody was within, you know, a throw's distance, right? Like, he just left everybody behind, which is exciting. And, you know, we had big run plays to start the year at Indiana, explosive run plays, had that again, but then we threw in those explosive pass plays, which the receivers did a great job getting separation. You know, it's exciting. It should scare defenses now that we've been able to show both on the ground and in the air to hit those big plays.
Well, when you have that capability, what does – so, okay, Virginia Tech, they're obviously game planning right now for us next week. And there's stuff clearly on tape of really explosive plays from the backfield, whether it be from the quarterback position or the running back position. What does that do to a coaching staff? Like, from a game planning perspective, what levers does it force them to pull that they might not want to or ordinarily pull? Or does the coaching staff just say, we're not going to change what we do. We think we can stop it just by doing the normal thing, and we're going to play our game.
I mean, it definitely influences how they prepare, you know, which packages, and are we going to play run heavy, pass heavy? I think it's going to create fits because two guys in the backfield can hit the home run ball. They can outrun anybody once they get running. So, you know, they're going to be conscious of that. And like I said, with what the receivers did, again, it's against NC Central, but how they were able to get open and create those, you know, home run, those long pass opportunities, that should scare them. Because again, do you want to get hit? You want to stop the home run ball on the run, but then you're going to open up for these athletes out wide to, you know, hopefully hit those long pass plays or the explosive plays through the air, which again, it was good to see us execute on that. And it should help us because again, you have to stop our guys in the backfield, right? We have two games in a row with huge runs, explosive runs. So again, I think it's going to be exciting to see, you know, what Tech, which is the lesser of two evil for them, and if we can exploit that.
You run for 270 yards and you pass the ball for almost 280 yards. You have that sort of balance no matter how it happens. You got a chance to win every week.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, if we can run do that against Tech.
Is that good? Is 268 rushing yards good? Is that a plethora of yards?
It's essentially what Vanderbilt did to Tech last night.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
We hung half a 100 yesterday, guys.
I had to scroll way far back to see the last time we put up 50.
Was that the fight in Bobby Wilder's?
Let's see. It was 2021. I think it was against Charlotte was the last time we hung 50.
Is which that we regulation? Had a couple.
I think so. Yeah. Cause I think it was like 50 something to 20 something. So,
I guess the Coastal game where Blake Watson went off, we didn't hit the 50.
I think it was like 48, which, you know, I was like, does that count? You know, it's close. And I was like, let me keep going back to see 50. Cause we've scored 50 points, especially, you know, back in the day, like we put up a lot of points.
But we again, we could lose games back then too, scoring 50.
Yes, we could. That's a fair point. But yeah, it was funny going back through the schedule and results. You know, and I probably mention this every single time I'm on here talking to you guys. Like, there were very few games where we were dominated on the scoreboard. I know some of those games we made it tight in the end, but like one possession. Again, we didn't win a lot of those, but like, again, I say this every time, right? Like, we compete for the most part outside of someone like the, you know, Tech game and some of those games that get away from us, but the fire's there, the fight, like the guys, like we have some dudes in the locker room, like it's there. And I think we've showed it through the first two games. And I think we're going to show that against Tech here this weekend.
Yeah. It was nice to see some of those younger guys and like, Ricky mentioned yesterday, Seth as well, step up. When we got two of our dudes, two of our premier linebackers not available yesterday. So that's really encouraging to see that we didn't miss a beat there. Long term, that's going to be a great thing for the program, you know?
Yeah. There's no line out for this game yet, so I don't know what Vegas is thinking. Quite yet. We're recording this a little bit earlier than usual. I'm really interested to see what the line is. I think Virginia Tech's going to be favored. They're the home team. They're the ACC team. But
I'm thinking 13.
What's that?
I'm thinking 13 points.
I was going to say 10 on the spread for them. But
yeah, I'm really interested to see where this line opens up at, because obviously I don't think there's going to be a lot of bettors just jumping at the chance to bet on Virginia Tech right now or Old Dominion. And so where do you set that at? It's maybe 9-10 points makes sense to kind of influence some bettors. I don't know.
Yeah, because I don't think folks know who either team is. So, I mean, Virginia Tech's 0-2, but they played, you know, South Carolina and Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's 2-0. And then, you know, we had our first game, which is kind of, you know, is what it is. And yesterday we played an FCS. So, likewise, I don't know who we are yet either. And we talked about that last week. What we expected to happen happened, which is awesome. But potentially we learn a lot this week. We certainly have the potential to learn a lot. I think we're all pointing ahead to week four to have a better understanding of what this squad is. But someone could convince us next Saturday. We could get a real good peek as to what the rest of the season is going to look like. I hope so.
I know we've talked about this, but we really do have a special opportunity this year in the Sun Belt. Because if you looked around the scores in the Sun Belt, pretty ugly day for the conference. Let me get back to it.
Yeah, usually the Sun Belt is rocking and rolling through the first, you know, couple of games before we get into the Sun Belt slate. And yeah, it's certainly been surprising to see.
I mean, the biggest surprise, I think, is Missouri State beating Marshall 21-20. Got to give Troy a little credit for trying to make it a little prettier. They almost, I mean, they gave Clemson all they could handle yesterday.
Yeah, they were winning at the half, right?
I mean, they were winning a lot of the game. They lose 27-16 at the half. I mean, they had held Clemson to 3 points in the first half. That's, so they, if they keep playing like that, that's going to make our schedule a little bit harder. But Lindenwood gives App State all they can handle. They win 20-13. A little bit reminiscent of Lindenwood. That is an FCS.
Kind of wood is that?
Texas State beats UTSA. That's a good win. Arkansas State gets ran over by the Hogs. Memphis crushes Georgia State. South Alabama loses to Tulane. Georgia Southern gets crushed. And Coastal struggles with Charleston Southern, winning 13-0. Just not a great day for the conference, I don't think.
I mean,
make it interesting.
Mixed bag, yeah. So I think what you're saying is we need to start a year to win the conference, take advantage of this opportunity.
Yeah, it's kind of reminiscent of that 2016 season where Marshall was down. Conference USA as a whole was down while Old Dominion was playing good football.
Yeah, that would be nice.
That was our last winning season also.
I'm hopeful. I think this is going to happen. I think that we'll be battling it out with JMU towards the end of the season for that, you know, that East championship. Hopefully that's the case. That, I mean, that would be fun for everybody, I think.
Oh, yeah. All right. Nice to go up to JMU and secure another conference win, you know. Flashback,
an official conference win. Official, unofficial.
Semantics. You know? Semantics.
Yes. This time we won't need a bed sheet to put the championship banner on, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
All right. So you guys ready for picks?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
I guess we'll give the guest honors first.
All right. I say we're going to go up to Blacksburg. You know, it's funny. I said Vegas is going to open up 10-point favorite with Tech, but I think we're going to walk away 27-17. You know, I think, you know, you mentioned Tex had issues, time of possession, and not getting those big plays. And, you know, I think that's one of our weaknesses, but I think it's going to be a defensive struggle. We'll get the big plays. They won't. And hey, how about that? What was it? A 46 yard field goal yesterday. So I think we'll knock in a couple field goals. You know, our guy has a big leg. So I think he'll have an opportunity to hang some points up there. So 27-17. Go Monarchs, baby.
All right, Aaron, what is the kicker doing this week?
You know, it will be a bit of a back and forth game. The fans are going to come out there. They're going to make the noise like they usually do. But our team is battle tested. You know, our guys, they're going to be coming in feeling really good about themselves. That coaching staff is going to, I think that they have a lot of positives based upon how Ricky was last night, other than when he was getting bombarded with the Jason Henderson questions. You know, he seemed to be pretty up on what he saw. So ultimately, I think what happens is it comes down to a field goal. We win 27-24, 50-yard field goal. Riley Callahan put it on the board, our first win in Blacksburg. And we start making people in very high positions if Virginia Tech consider what they're going to do from a coaching perspective. Go Monarchs.
Now, this feels like a trendy pick for myself, but I've been saying it for months now. Aaron can be my you know I've been saying this all offseason. This feels like we're going to get Brent Pry fired. Old Dominion wins 31-24.
Monarchs. Let's get it.
All right. Come join us Saturday, Afterglow. If you're not making the trip to Blacksburg, come hang out for the watch party. We will have some cool prizes again. We have some signed footballs from some ODU football legends. We might have some tickets to give away. And we're going to have great beer.
We are. All their beer is great. But you've got our beer. You got Kolsch Ricky, which is a new one. So if you like a Kolsch style beer, you got the opportunity to do that. And then who doesn't like to eat shawarma? Main Street Shawarma is going to be there with the food truck. So get there early, get settled, you know, get the juices flowing, and let's be able to be ready to make some noise.
I'm in. All right. What's that, Joe?
I said, absolutely. I'll be in Blacksburg, but, you know, we'll be bringing the noise wherever we are.
Well, have a safe trip. Bring us back a dub. Thank you all for watching and supporting us. Go Monarchs.
Go Monarchs.
Go.
Thanks, guys.
Monarchs. You're welcome, B-Tech. Brother. B-Tech.
B-Tech. B-Tech.